were talking about from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto of the 60th chapter, where the talks between Krishna and Rukmini is discussed. The chapter begins with the Krishna's arrival into the apartment or to the palace of Rukmini Devi, and there was this long discussion between Krishna and Rukmini which happened later. But prior to that, we were talking about this Brahmana who went to hear this chapter from Lord Shiva himself about from the Srimad Bhagavatam as Uma Maheshwara Samvadam. Or in other words, Lord Shiva was speaking to Sri Parvati Devi, his consort, about Krishna's discussions, Krishna's talks with Rukmini, or Krishna's quarrel with Rukmini. So from hearing from Lord Shiva, this devotee came back and mentioned to Krishna that this is what I heard from Lord Shiva, how you have quarreled with Rukmini. And over a 6 month period, he reported this whole discussion, what he heard over a year's time from Lord Shiva to Krishna. Krishna was very, very pleased with that report from the Brahmana, how he heard this from the from Lord Shiva. So the chapter begins with this verse that Karhichil Sukhamasinam Sodalpastam Jagal Gurum, that Krishna was situated happily. Jagal Guru is Krishna. Sodalpastam Jagal Gurum, Krishna was situated on his throne. Karhijil Sukhamasinam, that once it, Karhijil means once it's happened, that Krishna was situated happily on his throne. And this chapter begins with that verse. Karhijil Sukhamasinam Sodalpastam Jagal Gurum Nityam Pajajaral Bhaishmi. Bhishmaga, or King Bhishmaga's daughter, is Rukmini Devi, and she was serving she was serving Krishna in that situation on every day in this basis. So Krishna was used to this service from Rukmini Devi. So because of this chapter begins with the word Karhichen, that particular Brahmana was given a title by all the other local people who were listening to him regularly, Srimad Bhagavatam, that he gave this title to that Bhattashri or Karhijal Bhattashri, they started calling him. Because of his direct reception of this story from Lord Shiva and the way he presented that to the public in the temple, all Krishna's devotees who assembled there, he changed the name of this Brahmana and he started calling him as Karhijal Bhattashri. Karhijal Sukhamasinam Sodalpastam Jagal Gurum Nityam Parijaram Bhaishmi. So this, in the course of this, and later on he was known as Karhijal Bhattashri because of this particular incident, what happened with the Lord Shiva. So anyway, we have a special reason to remember this incident, because it is such a significant thing in our own life. Almost all of us are householders in this world. There is, for brahmacharis and sannyasis it's a little different, but for householders generally, this story of Krishna and Rukmini quarreling each other has a special significance. Generally, most of us approach Krishna according to the Shastra, and according to, if you observe very carefully, you will notice that people start reading Srimad Bhagavatam or people start approaching Krishna for two things. That is, generally it is mentioned as artha kamam. Artha means wealth and kamam means desires. So artha kamam is two things which are generally in people's mind when they come to Krishna consciousness, and that is not something which you can easily give up. In this material world, Sri Sudeva Goswami knew very well when he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam and presented to Maharaj Parikshit, that Srimad Bhagavatam also should give an opportunity for ordinary conditioned souls to approach Krishna, because after all, everyone in this material world is not looking for going back to the spiritual world straight away. We know that. And honestly, most of us have this, so many material desires once instantly killing us, and at the same time, as long as we can maintain ourselves Most of the people have this thinking that along with the spiritual life, they would like to have a reasonably comfortable material life also. So that's not excluded from the scope of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam covers that side also. So Artham and Kamam, these are two divisions in the total human life. According to Vedic system, the human life is divided into four objectives, namely Dharmam, Artham, Kamam and Moksham. These are the four things on which the human life is supposed to be developed. So all these things, Dharmam, Artham, Kamam and Moksham, in other words, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, these four things constitutes a human life in this world according to the Vedic understanding. So one who follows the Varnashrama Dharma system, everything, the basis is Dharma. Dharma means that is the foundation of the life in this world. It is, Shastra says that based on Dharma, one can acquire Artha. Similarly, based on Dharma, one can have the Kamam or sense gratification. If each of them is considered as 25%, Dharma is 25%, Artham is 25%, Kamam is 25%, and the last 25% is liberation or moksham. So according to Vedic philosophy, if a life is led based on religious principle, that means Dharma. Dharma is the basis or the foundation of the human life. So one is allowed to earn wealth based on Dharma. Similarly, one is allowed to have sense gratification based on Dharma. Dharma aviruddha bodeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that sense gratification which is not against the principles of religion, I am that. This is why Krishna has said that dharma aviruddha bodeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. So dharmam, artham, kamam and moksham. But out of these four things, normally, most of the people have only the understanding of these two things, that is Arthagamam. Arthagamam is the whole objective of most of the population in this world. That is why from morning to evening, every living entity is struggling in this world. It's only if you look very carefully that you will see there that it is Arthagamam that is keeping that living entity going in this world. The conditioned soul's life in this world is mentioned in the Shastras that it is only trying to acquire as much as Artham, as much as wealth as possible so that his material desires and sense gratification can be fulfilled. So with this objective it is come. So Sri Sukadeva Goswami also, Sri Sukadeva Brahmarshi was very much aware of that. He knew that when they come to Srimad Bhagavatam, whether we approach Krishna, whether we approach Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any scripture, generally this thinking will always be behind it, and that is very difficult to take away from the living entity. The living entity has so many desires in this material world, and therefore in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that at the end of every story there is also a benediction given to that. So this benediction is given by Sukadeva Goswami. For example, if you hear about the Rasa dance of Krishna, what was the result of that? It is mentioned in there also. Bhaktim param bhagavadim pratilabhya kamam hridrogamashama abhagino tajirena dhiraha. That in course of time, if you hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis and the rasa dance, automatically these lusty desires from the heart of a person will go away. This is the vikridinam rajavadhu biridanja vishnam shraddhanvidam. That if one cares, one carefully listens to the stories of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, automatically it will remove that desires, the unwanted desires. Hridrogamashvam ahinot ajirena dhiraha. That automatically it will wipe out all the unwanted material desires and lusty desires from the heart. This is the result given there. Similarly, if you look at every story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there at the end, Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, if you hear this story from somebody, or if you hear this story from a devotee, or if you recite this story of Krishna such and such a pastime, this is the result. Similarly, it is mentioned that one who wants children, or one who wants after the marriage, if the couple have no children, they should approach Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that they should take to other artificial processes. That is not Krishna's instruction. That you should come to Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of a Brahmana whose children died after the birth, and 10 children died, and Krishna brought them back and given it to them. The result of that story is that if one constantly recite that and contemplate on that story, listen about that, automatically the children, those who desire to have children, they will have the possibility of having children by Krishna's grace. And this is known as the special benediction Krishna has given. Similarly, those who want to get married and have a good wife and who is very favorable in Krishna consciousness, it is said that Rukmini's marriage to Krishna should be recited, and one should meditate on that, and contemplating on that, he will have the possibility of, by Krishna's grace, to have a good marriage in this world. So like this, every story in the Srimad Bhagavatam is also linked to a benediction to the devotee who approaches Srimad Bhagavatam with that objective. Now, if it is like that, if there is an objective of every story, what is the objective of this Krishna's quarreling with Rukmini? Automatically this question comes in. Krishna has quarreled with Rukmini, and at the end the benediction Krishna has given to that. That in this material world, that it is, the marriage is a very, very tight knot. Once it is done, one has no much option left after that. I'm talking about a society where there is very much, these things are restricted, very strongly controlled. That when a man and woman, before they got married, they did not have a full understanding. But only after the marriage the man found out that the girl has such and such a deficiency or defects. And on the other hand, the girl has also found that the man has such and such problems or difficulties in life. So now what can be done? If they are little bit cultured in their life, in their attitude in life, they will just tolerate it and somehow pass their life without involving too much, having too much of a close relationship, but at the same time accept that was just how the that is how the marriage is going to happen. So anyway, if the husband and the wife has a proper relationship, that the husband and wife agree on Krishna consciousness, that is a very good thing, because in that case the life becomes very much easier. But if on the other hand, wife has some different desires, the husband has some different desires, that makes life very hard for both of them. For example, the wife takes the Srimad Bhagavatam and starts reading, and the husband is complaining constantly, why do you want to waste your time reading the Srimad Bhagavatam? Then she has to wait till the man goes away to work or to office or whatever it is, and it becomes a big problem for her. Similarly, on the other hand, if you look at other things also, if the husband is Krishna conscious and the wife says she has no interest in Krishna consciousness, then also becomes very, very difficult. Because if the husband says that after working for so many years, husband felt once that he should go to Vrindavan or to Haridwar or Hrishikesh or Badrinath or to some holy places, and preparing himself for the future life, or he has started working after so many years in this world, he started realizing that this family life is not forever, it is also going to come to an end one day. So husband started making the plans to go to Vrindavanam or Hrishikesh or Dwaraka or whatever it is. So some holy places he want to visit, some temples, and have darshan of Krishna at these famous temples. And he want to take the opportunity of his annual holidays to do that. But if the wife is thinking, look, we have got so much money now, why don't we go to Florida for a holiday? If the wife starts thinking like that, that also life becomes very, very difficult. So in other words, if the husband and wife are thinking identical way, that makes the life very, very easy. But if they don't do that, automatically that makes life very hard also. So Krishna is saying here that if already there is, without all this problem itself, there is not much of a peace of mind in the householder life. That is the normal nature of the householder life. Now, in addition to that, if the husband and wife is also quarreling and fighting each other, what chances have they got to live peacefully in this world? So this is the nature of the material life in this world, of the householder life. So householder life becomes very, very difficult when this fighting starts between the husband and the wife. So Krishna is saying here, I quarrel with Rukmini, and let the devotees read this story about me, and let them not quarrel each other. This is the message Krishna has given through this story. Rukmini Devi and Krishna. It was Krishna has arranged this quarrel and fight deliberately just to show to the world that this is what happens in the householder life. But at the same time, if you read the story of how Krishna has quarreled with Rukmini and how the instructions what Rukmini has given in that story, if you follow that properly, there is no possibility of fighting or quarreling each other between the husband and the wife in the householder life. And this is the very, very important message that Krishna has passed through Rukmini Devi to this material world, to the householders, and that is that story, this story begins from. So when this incident happened in Krishna's time in this world, this has happened after many, many years after Krishna's marriage to Rukmini. Krishna married Rukmini and then this incident has happened something like 25 or 30 years later. So this quarrel happened. Krishna can create situations and scenes in such a way that these are all lessons to the material world, to the householders of this world. Krishna's all ashrams in this world, Krishna was an identical human life he showed in this world, how a person should live in this world, how he should live a brahmachari life, how he should live a householder life. These two things, the two main ashrams, Krishna has covered in his 125 years in this world. So when Krishna was in the householder life, this incident happens about 25 or 30 years, many, many years after the marriage to Rukmini. So it so happened that when Krishna was in Dwaraka, normally Krishna went to see Vasudeva and Devaki for dinner. He used to join them for dinner on many occasions. So once when he came over to Vasudeva's palace for the dinner, Uddhava, his minister, told Krishna that today is a special day in the Durga temple in Dwaraka, and because of the festival there is going to be a little delay in the offering. And generally after the offering is made to Durga Devi, the prasadam was brought over from there to all the houses nearby. And Krishna also realized that means it's going to be a little bit delayed, little bit delayed of the dinner at home. So Krishna was hesitant to thinking that what should I do now for about an hour time he has. So Krishna decided at that time, he told Uddhava that you go back to the temple, and when the offering is over and it is time for the offering of the ghee lamps or the aarti time, just call me back and I will come over, and after that I will go for the dinner in Vasudeva's palace. So saying that, Krishna left Uddhava there, and Krishna decided, still thinking how to spend the an hour time what he had in his schedule. So at that time Krishna thought himself that maybe I should go to Rukmini's palace. But at the same time Krishna thought, if I go to Rukmini's palace, what will happen? I could ask Rukmini to play with the veena or to play this instrument, and Rukmini was an expert in all these things and he could listen to Rukmini playing the veena. So this was in his mind. But then he thought that maybe I should go to the palace of Satyabhama or Jambavati or so many other wives who are there. Then again his mind was thinking, he's going through all these thoughts, he thought, perhaps it's going to be the same, because they are all going to do exactly the same way, like Rukmini Devi receives me and looks after me. It's not going to be much different in any other palace. So eventually he decided to go to Rukmini's palace itself. Pratyutgivasanavararhanapadashaujam tambulavishramanavijanagandhamali Kesha Prasada Shaino Bhavadya. It says in the Bhagavatam that how Rukmini Devi used to receive Krishna in her palace. When Krishna comes to the palace, Rukmini Devi comes down to greet Krishna and take him to the palace, wash his lotus feet, and then serve him with all the different preparations for him to take, and also fan him for quite a long time. And personally she did everything associated with other servant maids who were assisting Rukmini Devi. So pratyutgamasanavararhanapadashaujam tambulavishramanavi janagandhamali kesha prasara shaina paramosmidhabho. So in this way Krishna was treated by Rukmini Devi. So Krishna went inside, and after going inside, Krishna sat there and started still thinking, what should I do now with my time? This thought was going through Krishna's mind all the time. So Sri Shivan says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it was next to Rukmini's palace is Satyabhama's palace. And from Satyabhama's palace, there was a Parijada tree which was planted there, which has grown up and came to Rukmini's palace from there. And Parijada vano dhyanam vayino dhyanashalinah. Shishuvan says to Parikshit Maharaj, when Krishna was sitting there and thinking at that time, the fine fragrance of the flower, Parijada flower, came in the air to Krishna. And when this fragrance of this Parijada flower came over, Krishna's thoughts went along with that Parijada flower. That's how it says there. Shishuvan says to Parikshit Maharaj, Parijada vanamodam vayuno dhyanashalina. That vayu, the air that has come from the, along with the Parijada flower, immediately influenced Krishna. How did it influence Krishna? Along with that, Krishna's thoughts also went along with Parijada flower. Why? What happened was, Satyabhama, Krishna is another consort like Rukmini Devi, had made a big scene out of this Parijada tree. What happened was that once Srinarada Maharshi came from the heavenly planet and brought this Parijada flower and gave it to Krishna. This Parijada flower don't grow, Parijada tree doesn't grow in this planet, it only grows in the heavenly planets. And it's attractive, the beauty of the flower and the fragrance of the flower is so powerful that Krishna out of love gave it to Rukmini. And when he gave it to Rukmini, Satyabhama came to know about it. And Satyabhama complained to Krishna that you have no love for me, that is why you gave it to Rukmini. So Krishna knew that this is the beginning of the trouble. So Krishna decided, told Satyabhama that one day I will go to heavenly planet and bring that Parijada tree and plant it here in your house. So Satyabhama was pacified and they had to go. It was at that time some incident happened in the heavenly planet that Naragasura, one of the powerful demons whom Krishna had killed later, went to the heavenly planets and stole the kundalams or the earrings of Aditi Devi. Aditi Devi is Indra's mother. Indra's mother's earrings were stolen by Naragasura and he came over. So Indra came and complained to Krishna, this Naragasura demon has become so powerful that something has to be done about him. Krishna said to him, we'll take care of it. I'll look after that. And after a few days, Varuna came over. Varuna also came and told Krishna that he had a very, very special umbrella, which again Naragasura has stolen. So this Naragasura was actually giving a lot of trouble to the demigods and they were constantly complaining to Krishna about him. So when they complained like that, Krishna decided that he should go and kill Naragasura. And after killing Naragasura, he took away the kundalams or the earrings and took it back to Aditi Devi in the heavenly planet. So after handing over the earrings to Aditi Devi and visiting Indra, Krishna was on his way back. Indra told Indra that I want to take this Parijada tree from here, one of the trees from there, and take it to Satyabhama's palace. So on that agreement, Krishna took the Parijada tree from there and brought into Satyabhama's palace and planted there. And when this plant grew up in Satyabhama's palace, it didn't grow up in this garden. On the other hand, it went straight into Rukmini's palace, grew up and it started going towards Rukmini's palace. So Satyabhama got very upset about it and said to Krishna that you have deliberately done it like this, that this will start going to the other side. So Krishna thought all these things, and that day, knowing very well, Satyabhama is a Kshatriya woman, and knowing her nature very well, Krishna tried to pacify her as much as possible. But Satyabhama is not a person who give up easily. She had shown her real universal form that day to Krishna. And Krishna thought to himself, when Satyabhama, when she gets angry, I have seen how she behaves. Now I would like to see how Rukmini, when she gets angry, how she acts. I have not seen that. I would like to see that very much. And this is a thought which came to Krishna's mind at that time. Parijada vano malam vayuno dhyanashalina. Sri Shivan says to Parikshit Maharaj that this air, the fragrance that came with the Parijada flower, brought all these thoughts to Krishna's mind. So, but Krishna knows that Rukmini is not very easy to make her angry. Rukmini is such a personality that she had such a great a control of her mind and temper that it was not at all possible to upset Rukmini easily. And Krishna was aware of that. So it's not so easy to upset Rukmini. And Rukmini was not easily going to be affected by any of the Krishna's words. So actually, this is the thought Krishna was thinking through all the time. So in that mood, Krishna was sitting there and Krishna was thinking that what shall I start with Rukmini? So he started acting a bit ill, as he was not feeling very ill. So Rukmini Devi noticed that Krishna was not looking very well, and she started inquiring from him what has actually upset him. So when Krishna said to her that actually what has upset me is I have not been feeling very well for quite some time, but I have not mentioned this to you before. So Rukmini started saying to him, Krishna, that perhaps because you are sitting in this veranda, in this reception room, probably this cold air that's coming is causing the problem. Invited Krishna to come and sit in the bedroom. She went personally inside and organized the bed, everything nicely for Krishna to sit down. And when Krishna sat down, Rukmini Devi started fanning Krishna. And after fanning Krishna for a while, Rukmini Devi asked Krishna, how do you feel now? Krishna said, Krishna could not control his laughter. He was laughing inside, but he was acting as though he was in terrible distress. He was saying this to Rukmini Devi, Rukmini, what can I say? I mean, you are asking me how I am. I can only say that I am feeling all right, but at the same time, I am not feeling very well. Is there an answer like this, that I am feeling okay, but at the same time, I am not feeling okay? So Rukmini said, what is the matter? Krishna said to Rukmini, all this fanning and everything, that can only relieve my distress for the body. But what about my mind? And that mind is going through so much hardship for so many days. So like this, Krishna was building up certain anxiety in Rukmini's heart. Except this introduction, Krishna won't say what it is. Kept on saying this all the time, you know, what can I say? I'm just suffering inside, burning my heart, but I've been wanting to tell you so many days. So Rukmini was getting more and more concerned, and Rukmini wanted to hear from Krishna what actually was causing the distress. But Krishna was not revealing that. So after some time, for about 5 minutes, this went on. Except the introduction, nothing else. Only his days goes on with the introduction. At the end, Krishna says to Rukmini that, for the last 2 weeks I wanted to ask you this question. So Rukmini became more concerned and again wanted to know what it was. That time Krishna said to Rukmini, Rukmini, how long are we married now? Rukmini said, why you are asking that question now? Because this is something like 25 years have gone since marriage. And now Rukmini is asking the question, Krishna is asking this question, that how long have we been married? Rukmini said that as far as I can remember, Pradyumna is now 24 years old. That's how the people answered those days. Nowadays, if you ask people, how long have you been married, they'll give you the exact time, the date, when they were married. They will celebrate their silver jubilee, golden jubilee, every jubilee they can think of in the marriage. This is the modern society. But in the Vedic society, neither the husband nor the wife talked about the marriage after the marriage was done. It was not a big event. For them, it was the marriage was over with that, and then from then on, it is Krishna consciousness that's more important after that. It's not how we got married and what celebration we had and how many people were fed and all these sort of things didn't exist in their calculations. But anyway, this is how Rukmini answered. Pradyumna is now 24 years old. So you can calculate from that how many years we are married. That's how the answer was. Krishna said to them that, okay, so in this so many years of life, have you ever thought that is this marriage was successful or not? This is what Krishna's question to Rukmini. Krishna, if it was somebody else, they would have immediately fired up God straight away and started asking. Here it is after 25, 30 years, the man is asking me what successful the marriage was. So Krishna says at that time to Rukmini, but Rukmini was very, very controlled. Rukmini did not say anything. She said very quietly, she asked Krishna, that what have you found wrong in our marriage? What's gone wrong with our marriage? Krishna said, straight away in one lot, Krishna said to her that my faults, look at Rukmini, there are 16 major faults with me. And saying this, Krishna repeated 16 major faults in his person, as a person, Krishna's faults, Krishna said to her. And also Krishna said to her that Rukmini, you have two faults, and that also Krishna repeated to her. Rukmini heard all these things. And after hearing all these things, Krishna said to Rukmini that, do you understand my problem now? Krishna said, Rukmini Devi said to Krishna, what do you mean? Krishna said, who is Rukmini? Rukmini is King Bhishmaga's very, very favorite daughter. And not only favorite daughter, she is so affectionate, because Bhishmaga had 5 boys and 1 girl. And this is the last child is Rukmini. And Rukmini is the only daughter. So in other words, King Bhishmaga was very attached to Rukmini. So Rukmini was his most darling or dearest daughter. And look at me, Krishna said. And you are the daughter of such a great personality. And what about my father, my family? You come from such a great ancestors, that King Bhishmaga, he was such a powerful Kshatriya that everyone used to respect him. And look at my condition. I am a Yadava. Yadava means one who come from the Yadus dynasty. Yadus dynasties are called Yadavas. Why they were called Yadavas was, originally in the lunar race or the moon lunar dynasty, if you look at it, you will find among the ancestors of Krishna, there was a king called Yayati. Yayati was a very, very great king. And this king Yayati, he had 5 children from 2 wives. And that is a story in the 9th canto. You will read there, the story of King Yayati. It's a very, very famous story also. But he married Devayani, who is the daughter of the Shukracharya. And he also married Sharmishta, who is the daughter of Vrishabharwa. Now what exactly this story means? It means that Yadunshchaturvasum chaiva Devayani vijayada Druhyam Chanunja Purunja Sharmishta Varshavarvani. Vrishabharva's daughter was Sharmishta. And from Sharmishta, Yayadi had 3 boys. Druhyam Chanunja Purunja, Druhyu, Anadruhyu and Puru. 3 boys were born from Sharmishta. And from Devayani, Yayadi had 2 sons. One was our Yadu, Yadunshchaturvasumschaiva, Yadu and Turvasu. 2 boys were born from Devayani, and 3 boys, Druhyu, Adidruhyu and Puru, were born from Sharmishta. So that's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sri Shivan says in the 9th canto, he says it in a very, very joking mood. That is a very interesting story, but that we will not talk about it because it takes a lot of time. Druhyam chanunja purunja sharmishta varshavarvani. So it says there, Yadunshchaturvasumchaiva devayani vijayada druhyam chanunja purunja sharmishta varshavarvani. So these 5 boys were born. This King Yayati had a very interesting feature. He was never satisfied in enjoying in this world. He had such a lot of desire for sense gratification. And because of that, Yayati decided that when he got very, very old, he called all his children and he asked them that, I will give you this, the emperorship or the emperor's position, and hand over my whole kingdom to you. But in return, you give me your youth. This was his desire because he wanted to enjoy further in this world. So naturally, he called this Yadu, who is the eldest of all, who was born out of Devayani, and asked Devayani, can you offer your youth to me, and in return I make you the emperor? You will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan says about Yadu, this King Yadu, he was so fixed up in his spiritual life, in his pursuit of spiritual life, he refused to give that to King Yayati. Father is asking the son, give me your youth, let me enjoy the life. And son is answering the father that this human life is such a valuable thing. I don't want to waste it because I got it after so much passing through different species. I've come to this body. Let me use it for the proper purpose. And therefore, Yadu is very much respected in the family. And because of this, what happened was that nobody in that family will become an emperor. In the same way, everybody else also in the Yadu family was refused any emperorship. So Krishna said to Rukmini, look at my family. I come from this Yadu's family. None of us will ever become an emperor. We are not even proper Kshatriyas. This is the way Krishna was saying to Rukmini. And look at you. You have born from King Bhishmaga's daughter in such a nice ancestry you have. And my condition is like this. I am a Yadava, come from Yadu, who never will become a king or an emperor because of this incident. And therefore, my background is not very good, is it? Krishna said to Rukmini. Rukmini didn't say anything at that time. The next thing happened was that Krishna said that if you leave that side, Rukmini said, so what does it matter? Is that such a big thing, going back to so many generations after and checking if they were okay or not? But Krishna said, no, that's not the question, Krishna said to Rukmini. Look at this. You see, Bhishmaga likes you so much and looks after you. And he is so powerful, anytime when he walks in, all the other Kshatriya kings will get up from their sleep and offer their respects to him. And look at my father. Most of his lifetime he was in the jail. This is my background. And this is the type of parents I had, that they were in the jail quite a lot of time. And if it is like that, it doesn't become very good match, he said, that Bhishmaga has such a nice background, that he was a powerful king. And my father, most of the time, in those days, if you have spent time in the jail, it was considered to be a wrong, bad thing. Today it is not like that. If you come out of the jail, you are received very nicely with all sorts of reception is given to you because you are fighting for the freedom or whatever so-called freedom fighters or anything, whatever you do, you are considered to be very noble when you come out of the jail. So naturally the society receives you nicely as well. So anyway, in Krishna was pointing out to this, that obviously it looks that marriage in the jail was, sorry, for staying in the jail was not considered very auspicious. So when he came out that day, Krishna said to Rukmini again this. Rukmini was not affected by this so much. She became very thoughtful. And not only she became thoughtful, she started saying to Krishna that why should we discuss all these things, such an old matter, what has happened to your father and my father, they've all gone, marriage is between two of us, why should we discuss about their what they have been doing and all other things along with it. That time Krishna started thinking, maybe a little bit she is getting irritated now. Let me see how it's going to build up. So Krishna wants to build up on that further and see how the reaction is. So Krishna said to Rukmini, now we leave all that aside. Look at us each other. What is our match? Is there a match between us? Rukmini is so beautiful, golden color she was. She was very much a golden color and she looked so attractive. And look at me, Krishna said. Look, altogether, people call me so many things in this material world. I don't think I'm very beautiful, am I? Krishna said to Rukmini. Altogether, it's a mixture of black and blue, altogether. And in the Sanskrit poetry, they call me Neela, Megha, Shyamala, Komala, and all that sort of things. So many lala, 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 they keep talking about it. But I don't understand. They also say that, Yatrai lokya mahi aso vimahidam. Samohanam mohanal kandam kandi nidhana dobi madhuryam madhurya dhuryadhavi saundaryottara dobi sundaradaram todrubam ascharya dobi ascharyam bhuvane nakasya gudugam pushnadi vishno vibho. When the body said to Krishna that your body, you are such a beautiful person, and Krishna was saying that yes, he is talking about me, yatrailokya mahiyaso vimahidam. In all these three planetary systems, I am the most beautiful person, he says. Samohanam mohanal. That every time is more, it's more attractive than anything else in this world. Kandam kandi nidhana dobi madhuryam madhurya dhuryadhavi. Is there anything more sweet than Krishna to look at in this world? Saundaryottara dobi sundaradaram. Of all the beautiful things in this whole creation, he is more beautiful than that. Todrubam, Krishna's form. Ascharya dobi ascharyam. He is more wonderful than any other wonders in this world. Bhuvanena kasya kudugam pushnadi vishno vibhom. That people, it is not at all a surprise, he said. The devotee said to Krishna, they are all attracted towards your beauty. So the devotee has told me that this. And I am also thinking, yes, I don't know why you are attracted to this body so much. So that is, am I so beautiful? Like this, Krishna has put forward to Rukmini. Rukmini became very, very thoughtful at that point. And she didn't know what to answer this. This whole thing is getting so complicated. Altogether, Krishna is making the life very hard for me. She was saying that. And she kept on quietly thinking about it. And is this really upsetting Krishna so much that our marriage was not a proper marriage? And when this thought became a little bit more deeper in her mind, she said, very openly she said to Krishna, that if it was like that, why did you come and hold my hand when I was going to Durgadevi's temple, Parvati temple, on that day of the marriage, and told me to come along with you and to jump into the chariot? So Krishna understood, yes, she is getting angry now. That it is getting a little bit more, she was getting irritated. She could see that. Krishna could see that. Kanugamishyati Chandramukhi, that, oh my dear moon-like face lady, where are you going? Krishna was asking to Kanugamishyati Chandramukhi, that please come, that's not your chariot, this is your chariot. And the other side, her brother Rukmi was standing there with the chariot. And here, Krishna was saying to Rukmini, no, no, that's not the chariot, come to this chariot, this is where you have to come and get into this. And saying that, Krishna held Rukmini's hand and brought her into this chariot. Why did you do that? Krishna said, Rukmini asked Krishna in a very open way, in a very straight way. She wanted to find out, if it was all like this, were you not aware of all this before? And why did you do that to me that day? That if you didn't, if there was so much mismatch between us, why did you do this to me? So Krishna said to her at that time to Rukmini, that do you think that I have taken you from there seeing your beauty? Krishna said to Rukmini, fortunately Balaram was not there, because if Balaram was there, he would have caught Krishna at that time, because Balaram knew very well that when Rukmini Devi was coming from Parvati's temple, Krishna should have gone and taken her, but Krishna was stunned seeing the beauty of Rukmini that day. And he stood there for a while, and he didn't, and it was a bit late. Rukmini was just going to go into her brother's chariot, that it is then that Krishna went and caught hold of her. It was getting a little bit late, and Rukmini was observing this. And Balaram has seen that. But fortunately, Balaram was not there, so Krishna could say this to Rukmini, that I didn't do it seeing your beauty or anything like that. Actually, Krishna did do that, seeing Rukmini's beauty. And Krishna stood there, and he did not for a few seconds, Krishna did not go and ask Rukmini to come, because when he saw Rukmini the first time there, Kanugamishyati Chandramukhi, where are you going, Chandramukhi? Krishna was asking to Rukmini. But anyway, Rukmini was brought forward, brought into the chariot. I did not do that just because I was attracted by your beauty, Krishna said. I have done that only for one thing. In life, you get all these things only one opportunity. You don't get it. And that was a great opportunity for me to insult your brother Rukmi, who hated me so much. And also to insult Shishubala, who was also hating me so much. So I did only that to insult them. That was my only purpose of doing that. Nothing else. And if you think that because of you, an attraction that I have brought you here, don't fall into that illusion, Krishna said to her, to Rukmini. I only done that thing. I brought her from there. I brought you from there only to offend and to insult Shishubala and Rukmi, that I held your hand and brought you back with me. Krishna said to Rukmini. Rukmini was very much shocked when she heard this and didn't know what to say. By then, Rukmini's face and everything has become very, very reddish. And she was in a mood to cry or to get angry. Krishna didn't know what he was going to do. So that time, Krishna said to Rukmini, now, if you think, Rukmini, that if you go, if you think that without you I cannot live here, you are totally mistaken, he said to Rukmini. And if you think that if you are marrying Shishubala or marrying somebody else like that, you are going to be happy in your life, please go and do that. And I am not at all concerned about that. And if you are not here, there is another 16,107 women there who will serve me and they will look after me. You don't have to worry about that. He said this to Rukmini. Rukmini heard this. After hearing this, Rukmini became very, very thoughtful. And for some time, Rukmini could not speak. And from her hand, the fan fell off from her hand. And he started thinking, if it was normally like this, generally it is very, very difficult to explain this point, because Rukmini was Krishna's greatest devotee, one of the greatest devotees. And a devotee know, if Krishna abandons a devotee, how a devotee will feel. For us, it's no problem. If Krishna says to us, look, I don't want you here, we will say, all right, you stay on, I'm going my own way. This will be our attitude. But people who are great, great devotees, they know what that feeling is. If Krishna says to them, if I don't, I'm abandoning you, how much that will hurt them, only the great devotees can explain that. And that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in many, many places in the other Puranas also. There is mentioned this, only a great devotee can understand if Krishna abandons. In our case, there is no such problem. If Krishna says, okay, we don't want you, oh fine, that's all I need with me. Okay, Krishna doesn't want me, I also don't need Krishna, I have my own life. Let Krishna have his own way of doing it. That's the way we will see, because we haven't got that relationship with Krishna. We have developed this understanding, false understanding, that this relationship with Krishna is such an important thing in life, that we have developed all false analysis of our things. We come to Krishna with so many desires, so many needs, so many demands, and when it all gets materialized, oh, he says Krishna is nice. When things are not happening the way we want, we say we waste a lot of time with Krishna. This is how this material world is. This is the nature of this material world. So anyway, many, many great souls or great devotees of Krishna, they know what is Krishna when Krishna says, I don't want to, Krishna abandons you. And Rukmini Devi, who was in that condition, she suddenly fell from there. She fell unconscious and fell down. And when she fell down, Krishna immediately held her. When she fallen off, immediately held her. And and she Krishna kept her head in his hand, Rukmini's hand, and started fanning Rukmini. Abandon me. This thought was enough for Rukmini to experience that effect of that. That effect, the very thought when it came to her mind, Krishna has abandoned me. When that thought came to her, immediately Krishna, Rukmini felt that what was the point in living in this world. Because this is how great devotees think. Great, great personalities in this world who are devotees of Krishna, this is how their mind work. And they will have, because they know they live in this world for the sake of Krishna, to realize Krishna, to go back home, back to spiritual world, to have that Krishna's association, and to get that stability in their spiritual life by Krishna's mercy, which they are hoping to, and they spend their whole time in developing Krishna consciousness for this reason. But ordinary materialistic people are not affected by that. For them it is another side of their life. So anyway, Rukmini felt, because she has enjoyed that Krishna's service to Krishna. That is why Rukmini said this. And Rukmini fell from there. And when she fell down, what Krishna did was brought some water, sprinkled on her face, and Rukmini came back into consciousness. So when she came to consciousness, she realized that now that she was lying with her head in Krishna's Krishna's lap, and that gave her understanding that Krishna has not abandoned her. So that thought has given her a lot of relief. In the first instance, when she realized that Krishna has abandoned her, immediately she fell down, and in that process, that it says in the Bhagavatam, it's just like a banana plant when there is a strong wind, how it falls off. Exactly like that, Rukmini fell off. But now, when she realized that Krishna has not abandoned her, immediately she started realizing that Krishna is still looking, protecting her. But while falling off, she completely lost her weight in the body, that she became so thin that all the bangles have fallen off from her hand. Because of that fear and the feeling of separation from Krishna has disturbed her so much that all the bangles fell off from her hand. So Krishna, when Rukmini woke up, said to her, why did you get so upset about this, what I asked you? Rukmini said to Krishna that it is not something that you should not have spoken to me. You could have told me anything. I could have accepted that about Bhishmaga, about the parentage, about the other things. But the last thing what you mentioned was that if I don't like you, that I should go and marry Shishupala. That was the one thing which I could not accept it. Why? Krishna said, why? The reason is this, he said, who is Shishupala? Shishupala is an ordinary person, an ordinary man in this world. And what is this ordinary man? Ordinary man means, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shishupan says to Parikshit Maharaj, Tvakshmashu Roman Akha Kesha Pinadha Mandarmam Samsti Rekta Kramivadam Kapabittavadam Jeevachavam Bajadi Yadivimuda Cheda Yadepadabjam Makarandam Jighadastri. That Srimad Bhagavatam says there, Tvakshmashu Roman Akha Kesha Pinadha Mandar. That if you look this Shishupala's body, he is a material body, he has got. And what is it made of? It's made of skin, it's made of hair, it's made of the nails. Ramanaka Kesha Pinadhamanda. And the hair on the top, on the head, all these things is the outside this body of Shishupala. And what is inside this body? Mamsam Asti Rektam Krimi Kabhavada Bittai. That blood and bones and flesh and worms and kabhavitavade, air, bile and mucus, this is what is inside this body. And this whole thing, you have put a nice bag outside which is called this skin, and it is all packed inside nicely, and somehow Krishna has decided that it should not smell badly. That is Krishna's plan. Krishna has put this idea into our body, and therefore this body is not smelling badly. Otherwise, what constitutes this body, if you really analyze it, you can see what Rukmini Devi says is absolutely true. If you split up all the ingredients of this body and keep it separately, I don't know how many people will be able to look at it and see, enjoy the beauty of this material body.
Bhajadi Yandi Vimuda Cheda Yade Padabjam Magarandamaji Ghadistri.
That what has happened to this material body? Krishna has somehow or the other, as spirit soul, he has entered into this body. And because he has entered and occupied this body is not smelling so badly. It is only because of that this body is not giving any irritating smell or any disgusting smell. It's only somehow which we call it as this, that, husband, wife, this, that and the other, and we dress up nicely and we decorate it nicely and so much money we spend to beautify it. But because this Krishna's part and parcel is inside, we are able to bring this body into some nice place like the temple. Otherwise it is not possible to come to the temple because this body is full of, made of such ingredients which smells all the time in some form or the other. So this is what Shishupala is made of. And and if you tell me that I should go, because I have already served you. What is Krishna? Krishna is Sat Chit and Anandam, eternity, blissful and knowledge. And this is Krishna. And what is Shishupala? Shishupala is ignorance in every stage, from beginning to end. So if you tell me that I should give up because I have served this Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Sachidanandam, eternity, blissful and knowledge in my life, and I have enjoyed that, Yade Padabjamagarandama Jighadistri, that I have enjoyed the service of Krishna, and it is not possible for me to give up that service, and that is what you have asked me to do, and this is how a devotee will feel. That one who has served Krishna in this life, at any time after he or she has some realizations of serving Krishna, it is very, very difficult to give up that service afterwards. No matter how old or how young the person is, after he has served Krishna and enjoyed that service to Krishna, it's impossible to give up that relationship with Krishna. Anyway, this is how Rukmini said to Krishna. So Krishna understood the message. Krishna said that, okay, I can understand. As a woman, you had an opportunity to serve me. And therefore, you are very, very fortunate. So therefore I can understand your point that you have served me, you got the happiness from me. But what will happen to an ordinary woman who haven't had any opportunity to serve me directly? Because an ordinary person will get a husband, an ordinary man in this world. An ordinary man will get an ordinary wife also, a normal wife in this world.
So what should they do in that case? Rukmini said to Krishna, it is there that there is some discrimination and intelligence is necessary. This is Rukmini's words to Krishna. What is that? That whatever I have got, that inside this material body of the husband or the wife, one should realize that there is that spark of Krishna within that body. And if one understands that, one should serve with open-heartedly. The husband should serve the wife and the wife should serve the husband in that understanding. That actually I am not serving this material body, rather it is that spark of Krishna which is situated in every living entity, whether it is husband and wife, and try to learn how to love another person from this relationship. And this is the household of life Krishna is talking about, Rukmini is saying this. And if such a person learn how to love another person, then this household of life is an opportunity given to the husband and the wife. And after learning that, how to love another person, how to understand what is the feeling of emotion of love, and then ultimately he should direct that love towards Krishna. And this is where the difficulty comes. That up to that point, everything goes very well. We all talk about love, we love each other, husband loves the wife loves the husband, all this is going on. But when it comes to the question of directing that love to Krishna, that is where the failure comes. That is where all of us fail in this material world. That we started taking that this married life and this association with wife and husband each other is the only thing in this world, and we started acting on that level in this world, and we forget that this was only an opportunity to understand what is love and how to direct this love towards Krishna was the ultimate goal. And because we fail at that point to direct our love towards Krishna, we become entangled, and at the end we leave this world in a very desperate situation. So this was Rukmini's instruction to Rukmini's instruction to the world from in this story. So when Rukmini has spoken like this, if you ask the question, is there anybody who has done like that? There is some people who have done like that, and that is also in the history. That if you look at the finest example given to this is Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam was a person like that. Vilumangalam was not the Vilumangalam we hear about today, who is a great sannyasi and who was a great devotee of Krishna. But Vilumangalam in his Purva Ashram, in his early years in life, he was neither a sannyasi, he was neither a devotee of Krishna. He was an ordinary Brahmana, but not only an ordinary Brahmana, he was very much attached to his wife. That was this Vilumangalam's position. He says there also, and he was also not a devotee of Krishna, he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. Shaivavayam nakhalu tatra vijaraniyam. In the Shri Krishna Ranamadam, he himself says that about him. He writes that Shaivavayam, we were all Shaiva Brahmanas or Lord Shiva's devotees we are. Shaivavayam nakhalu tatra vijaraniyam panjaksharam tadipara. That we were always chanting Panjasharam, Namashivaya, Lord Shiva's holy name, we were chanting all the time. Shaivavayam nakhalu tatra vijaraniyam panjaksharam javavara nidharam tadavi chedo madiyamanasi kusumavabhasam smerananam smaradi gopavadhu kishavaram. But what has happened to him was, if you go into Vilumangalam's life, you will find there, Vilumangalam was a person who has done this, what Rukmini Devi has told to this world. Vilumangalam was grew up as a Shaiva Brahmana, or in that tradition, at that time, he was performing a lot of sacrifices for other people. And one day he went to a family who has invited him for a Shraddha ceremony. He had to go there. So when he went for the Shraddha ceremony, after the Shraddha ceremony, by the time the ceremony was all over, it was some time past midnight. And it was a very heavy rainy season. And during that rainy season, due to the heavy rain in the mountains, the rivers got flooded during the night. And while coming in the morning, they did not experience any difficulty in crossing the river. But in the night, after the heavy rain, the rivers got flooded. So he had only a very small lamp in his hand, and he was walking back to his home from the house where he has visited. So when he came to the river, he could not cross the river at that time. When he looked at the river, he saw that the river has been flooded overnight, after a few hours of heavy rain in the mountains, and he could not cross the river. So for a moment he thought whether he should go back to see his wife or his family. Vilamangalam thought at that point, Shaivavayam Magaludatra Vijaraniyam Panjaksharam Dalabara Edidam Tadhavi Chedo Madiyamanasi Kusumavabhasam Smerananam Smaradi Gopavadhu Kishoram. Then Krishna, he says there that he decided that somehow or the other he should get back home, because he was very much attached to his wife, and the wife whom he married was also not from his community. She was come from a different background. Anyhow, because of attachment he married her, and after marrying her he got so attached to her that he could not spend even a day away from her. So that night he decided to swim through the river, cross the river, Bharata river, and while crossing the river he could not swim for a long time. By then he saw a log of wood coming through the river. He caught hold of that. So using that, he started rowing, and he managed to get across the river. But only when he got in the dark night, when he crossed the river through, after some time crossing the river, he realized that the thing what he was thinking, that a wooden log, was actually a dead body of some dead person has come through, and he was sitting on that. He only realized it after a while. And being a Brahmana, immediately he felt disgusted with the whole thing. Then he said to himself that, what am I doing, this touching this dead body like this? But anyway, after crossing the river, the first thing what he did was, he immediately took a lot of mud from the ground and started rubbing on his body to clean himself up. Many times he bathed just to get rid of that feeling of touching the dead body. And he did that, and by about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he walked into his house. By now, staying in the water for so many hours, in the cold wind and the water, everything, he was more or less a little bit shivery also. The body was showing up that time. And when he went and knocked at the door, his wife came and opened the door. And when she opened the door, what she saw was Vilamangalam standing there, fully shivering. And at the same time, she could not understand why he has travelled back all the way in this time of the night. So she asked Vilamangalam, what have you done? Why did you do this? And Vilamangalam said to her that, I have done this only for one reason. That when I was sitting there, I was thinking about you, and I could not stay away from you. I wanted to be back with you. And this is the reason why I did this. That lady, who was a devotee of Krishna, said to Vilamangalam that, I am just thinking that these words what you have spoken to me now, that you are so much concerned about me and attachment for me. If this very attachment you had for Krishna, what a glorious life that would be for you. Vilamangalam did not stay there anymore. The leg what he has put forward, he pulled it back and straightaway went to the Shiva's temple, the nearby Shiva's temple where he used to go there. And he sat there and he chanted Namah Shivaya, Lord Shiva's holy name. Then, Pavitra Girtim Madilankya Shasanam Bhavana Vodvishti Shivam Shivedara. In the Srimad Bhagavatam says, the holy name of Lord Shiva is as potent. But when he chanted the holy name, Lord Shiva blessed him with one thing, that he gave Krishna consciousness or devotion to Krishna, to Vilamangalam. Vilamangalam got that benediction from Lord Shiva, that he will become one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. And that is why even after so many hundreds of years after Vilamangalam has left, even today people read Krishna Karnamritam Vilamangalam compiled, even an understanding, and he has got this name as Leela Shugan. Leela Shugan means he is an incarnation. He is not actually incarnation, but he is considered in the literal language as an incarnation of Subhadeva Goswami. And not what type of incarnation? Leela Shugan, one who can describe the pastimes of Krishna. Therefore, another name of Vilamangalam is Leela Shugan. So this Vilamangalam, he was neither a sannyasi nor a Krishna's devotee in the beginning. But after this incident, Vilamangalam wrote this famous book known as Krishna Karnamadam. So he used to sit on the banks of this river Bharatam, and on the leaf, he used to write down the verses on Krishna. And apparently Krishna himself instructed Vilamangalam to write this. And how did this come about? Vilamangalam started writing these verses. And every time when he wrote the verses, the deity of Krishna, which Vilamangalam has built up there, it used to shake its head. Not only it shook its head, it was not sufficient. When it shook its head, when the deity shook the head, Krishna's two eardrops also should swing nicely. Only if it is swinging nicely, Vilamangalam will keep that leaf there. If the eardrops or the earrings didn't swing nicely, Vilamangalam will throw that leaf into the river. This is how Krishna Karnamrutam came about. And in that Krishna Karnamrutam, Shri Krishna Karnamrutam, which Vilamangalam compiled, it says there very clearly, the beginning itself of Krishna Karnamrutam is referring to his wife. His wife, his name is the first thing what is mentioned there. Chindamani Chindamanir Jayani Somagirir Guru Me. That it begins like that. Chindamani was his wife's name. And Chindamani's name is mentioned in the beginning itself. I offer my obeisances to Chindamani, because if Chindamani has not reminded me of this, I would not have become a Krishna's devotee. This is how Vilamangalam saw this. Chindamanir Somagirir Guru Me Shikibinjamauli Tulpada Pallava Kalparu Shekhareshu Dila Shugan Swayavaram Labhade Jayashri. Somagiri was his spiritual master, later on from whom he took sannyasam later. But Vilamangalam, as we know, he refers to Chindamani as his instructing spiritual, who directed him to spiritual path, who directed him to Krishna, that was Chindamani. So he offers his obeisances to Chindamani first, before anyone else. So this is where the success of Vilamangalam, that he was able to direct that love, what he has understood, the value of love, towards Krishna. And this is the success of Vilamangalam, and that is where the complete failure of all of us. And this is where we fail. And this is the difference, that when we take that, this householder life in this material world as everything, and we try to build upon that all the time, forgetting that ultimately this loving relationship between a husband and wife, and wife and husband, is only to make an understand that what is love in this material world means, and to turn that love towards Krishna. That's the goal of that family relationship. So anyway, at that point Krishna said to Rukmini that Rukmini, that all these bangles that has fallen off from your hand, I want to bring them back and put it back to you. So Rukmini didn't say anything. Krishna went and picked up all the bangles and brought it back to put it on Rukmini's hands. But this time none of the bangles will go in. Why? Because when Rukmini realized that Krishna has not given up Rukmini or abandoned her, in the happiness, Rukmini's body also became very, very fat, and it could not get the bangles back onto her hands again. That is how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna said to Rukmini that I will tell Uddhava tomorrow that I will ask the jewelers to come over and prepare, make some new bangles for you. Rukmini didn't say anything, just smiled at that point to Krishna. So that is how this relationship between Rukmini and Krishna is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually this thing is also is true, that one gets thin or fat depending on the conditions of the mind. That's very clear. When one is very happy in life and without being too much disturbed in this material world, naturally a person becomes put on weight. It's natural. And when one is always stressed and always running around in circles, he is also distressed, and he is feeling he is not able to enjoy anything in this world. So he suffers. This story is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. This Yadu, Krishna's ancestor, he went to the forest, and he was walking on the banks of the river Kaveri. And it was at that time he saw Atreya Maharshi lying there. Atreya was a great sage from whom he took instructions. The story of 24 spiritual masters mentioned in the Agasya-skandham. Agasya-skandham is full of these incidences mentioned between Krishna, the discussion between Yadu, King Yadu, and this Atreya Rishi. And there, King Yadu asked Atreya Rishi, how come you are able to stay so fat like this? Because he was lying in the mud on the banks of the river. He didn't have anything to eat, and he was still lying there and fully satisfied, and he was looking very fat as well. So what was he eating so much, that what's giving him such a healthy body and strong body? Atreya Rishi said to Yadu that I have learned one thing from the different spiritual masters, that if I want to develop spiritual life, I have to keep my mind always under control. And I have learned that technique from different entities in this world, how to keep my mind under control and how to stay in happiness. And because I have learned that, neither happiness nor distress affects me. And because of that, my body condition also doesn't change. It always changes like this. So this is not something new. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this point is at different places. It's mentioned. So anyway, by now, time was over. And Uddhava by now came to call Krishna. Because the offering was over, there was time for arati in the Durga temple. Krishna and Rukmini walked over to the temple at that time. And Krishna and Rukmini, when they came over to the temple, what did they see there? Krishna was thinking about Rukmini. Look at Rukmini. Even after all these things, what Rukmini had to say to this world. Rukmini has given such a valuable instruction in this life, how a married couple or a family people member should actually, this whole family life is to understand what is love. The children, the parents, the grandparents, or the wife, husband, all this relationship is only to understand what is love in this world. If it's a brahmachari or a sannyasi, it doesn't matter because they are not entangled in this world by their good fortune that they were able to separate themselves from this entanglement of Maya. But majority of the people, 99.9% in this world, actually goes through this household life somehow or the other. And they have to live through that. And ultimately it becomes such a mess, either they break up and go, or one day they are separated by the arrangement of nature. That is how this material world is. But here, Rukmini is saying this valuable instruction to Krishna that if you utilize the household life properly, one day, by Krishna's grace, for such people, I will offer them a place in Vaikuntha. This is what Rukmini said to Krishna. And eventually, when Uddhava invited Krishna and Rukmini to the Durga temple, Krishna was looking at Rukmini. And what was Rukmini doing at that time? Rukmini was still praying to Sri Parvati Devi, to Durga Devi, the same prayer what she has prayed on the day of marriage. Namaste Twambige Bhishnam Sasandana Yudam Shivam Bhuyam Padir Memuda Krishna Stadanimodadam. Exactly the same prayer that what she prayed at that time. Namaste Twambigam Vishnam Sasandana Yudam Shivam Bhuyam Padir Bhagavan Krishna Stadanimodadam. That for Sri Parvati Devi's benediction to Rukmini Devi was such. Rukmini Devi is still thinking at that time also, after so many years, that she was feeling that happiness in the marriage. It's not like us. We are like this. We got married 25 years ago. And then now you just want to pass the time somehow and finish up all these things one day. And that is our married life. But Rukmini's married life was not like that. Every day and every hour in the life was a new happiness was in Rukmini's life. Why? Because she has understood that serving Krishna is the greatest happiness in this world. So this realization Rukmini had, and Rukmini had given that message through this chapter, 60th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I will read.
ശ്രീശുഖവാചുരംഭൈഷ്മിജനേനീജനൈ പാരിജാതവനാമോദം വായുനോദ്യാനശാലിന ദൂബൈ അതിരുജൈരാജൻ ജാലരന്ധ്ര വിനിർഗതൈ ഭയഫേന നിവേ ശുഭ്രേ പര്യങ്കേകശിഖോത്തമേ ഉപദസ്തേ സുഖാസീനം ജഗദാമീശ്വരം പതിം വാലവ്യജനമാനായ രത്നദണ്ഡം സഖീകരാൽ തേന വിജയതി ദേവി ഉപാസാഞ്ജക ഈശ്വരം സ്വവാച്യുതം കൊളയധീമനിനൂപരാഭ്യം തിരേചേങ്കുലീയവലയം വചന ആഗ്രഹസ്ഥാം വസ്ത്രാന്തകൂടകുതുകുങ്കുമശോണഹാരഭാസാനിദംബഹൃദയ ചപരാർദ്ധ്യകാഞ്ച്യ ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാച. രാജപുത്രേഷി ബാബുമേ ലോകമാല വിഭൂതിമി മഹാനുഭാവൈ ശ്രീമൽബി രൂപ ഉദരിമലോർജിതൈ താൻ പ്രാപ്തോനർത്ഥിനാഹിത്വാ ചൈത്യാദിൻ സ്മരതു മദാൻ ദത്താ ഭ്രാത്രാസു വിത്രാജ കസ്മാൻ നവോഷയേ സമാൻ രാജവ്യോഭിവിദസുബ്രോ സമുദ്രം ശരണം ഗതാൻ ബലവദ്ധിക്കൃതദ്വേഷാൻ പ്രായസ്ത്യക്തമുപാസനാൻ അസ്പഷ്ടവർമ്മനാം പുംസാം അലോകമപഥമീയുഷാം ആസ്തിദാപദവീം സുബ്രൂ പ്രായസീതം യൂഷിതാം നിഷ്കിഞ്ചനാമയം ശശ്വൻ നിഷ്കിഞ്ചന ദിനപ്രിയ അസ്മാൽ പ്രായേണ നഹ്യാഢ്യാ മാം ഭജന്തി സുമധ്യമേ ഏവരാത്മസമന്വിത്തം ജന്മ ഐശ്വര്യാകൃതിർഭവാതയോർവിവാഹോ മൈത്രീ ച മൂത്തമാധമയോ കുചിൽ വൈദർഭേദ വിജ്ഞായ ത്വയാ ദീർഘസമീക്ഷയ മൃതാവയം ഗുണഹീന ഭിക്ഷുരശ്ലാഘിതാമുധ അധാത്മനോനുരൂപം വൈഭജസ്വ ക്ഷത്രിയർഷഭം ഏനത്വമാശിഹ സത്യ ഹ്യാമുത്രജലപ്സ്യസേ ചൈദ്യസാലുജരാസന്തതന്ത്രോത്രാദയോ നൃപ മമദ്ദുഷന്തി വാമുഹരുരുഗ്മീ ചാബീതവാഗ്രജാം തേഷാം വീര്യമധാന്ധാനാം വൃത്താനാം സ്മൈനുത്തൈ ആനീതാ സമയാഭദ്രേ തേജോവഹരദാസനാം ഉദാസീനാമയം നൂനം വസ്ത്രവത്യാർത്ഥകാമുക ആത്മലഭ്യാസ്മഹേ പൂർണ്ണ ഗഹയോ ജ്യോതിരക്രിയാം ശ്രീശുഭവാച ഏതാവതുക്വാ ഭഗവാൻ ആത്മാനം വല്ലഭാമിവ മന്യമാനുശ്ലേഷാത്ത ഭഗ്നോപാരമൽ ഇതിലോകേഷ പദേസ്തദാത്മനം പ്രിയസ്യ ദേവേശ്വരപൂർവാപ്രിയം ആശ്രുത്യ ഭീതാഹൃതി ജാതവേ പദുശ്ചിന്താം ദുരന്തം ദുരതീജനമഃ ുംഭേവായുഹദാവിഗീരകേശാൻ തദ്ദൃശോ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണപ്രിയായ പ്രയോധനം ഹാസ്യ പ്രൗഢിമജാനന്യ കരുണസ്വന്വകം വദാം പര്യങ്കാദവരുഹ്യാശു താമുത്ഥാപ്യ ചതുർഭുജ കേശാൻ സൗഹ്യതദ്വക്രം പ്രാമുജൽ പത്മവാണിനാം പ്രമുജ്യാശ്രകുലേ നേത്രേ സ്തനൌ ചോഭഹദൌ ശുച ആശ്രിഷ്യ ബാഹുനാരാജൻ അനന്യവിഷയാം സമീം സാന്ദ്വയാമാസ സാന്ദ്വജ്ഞകൃപയാ കൃപണാം പ്രഭു ഹാസ്യ പ്രാപ്തിഭ്രമചിത്തം അതദർഹാം സദാം ഗതി ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച ുംഭവതാരാജൻ വൈധർമ്മി പരിസാന്വിതൃഹാസോക്തി ഭവാഷഹൃവം പുംസാം വീക്ഷന്തി ഭഗവാൻ മുഖം സവേദഹാസുരജിരസ്നിഗ്ധോ വാംഗേന ഭാരത രുക്മിണീവാചാം നന്ദ്യേവമേതദരവിന്ദവിലോചനാഃ യദ്വൈ ഭവാൻ ഭഗവദോ സദൃശീ വിഭൂം ന കൂസ്വേ മഹിം നഭിരതോ ഭഗവാം സ്ത്രീശാം ക്വാഹം ഗുണപ്രകൃതിരത്നഗഹീതവാന സത്യം ഭയാദിവ ഗുണേഭ്യ ഉരുക്രമാന്തശ്ചേതേ സമുദ്ര ഉപരമ്പരമാത്രമാൽമാ നിത്യം കരീന്ദ്രിയഗണേ കൃതവിഗ്രഹസ്ത്വം തുൽസേവകേ മൃഗപദ ഭവാൻ ബലിഭുജാമവിദേവിഭ്യം ത്വമേ സമസ്ത പുരുഷാർത്ഥമയ ഫലാത്മാ യദ്വാ ചയാ സുമദയോ വിശദം വികൃഷ്ണം തേഷാം വിഭോ സമുചിതോ ഭവദ സമാജ പുംസ സ്ത്രീയാശ്ചരതയോ സുഖ ദുഃഖിനോർമ്മ ത്വം ന്യസ്തദണ്ഡ മുനിഭിർ ഗതിനാനുഭാവം ആത്മാത്മനസ്യ ജഗദാം ഇതി മേ ബ്രദോസി ഇത്വാ അഭവദ്വ ഉദിരീത കാലവേഗം ദ്വസ്താശിഷോ ജവാനാഗവദീൻ ഗുണോന്യേ ജാഡ്യം മനസ്ത വഗദാഗ്രയസ്തു ഭൂവാൻ വിദ്രാം യശാനന്ദനദേന ജഹർത്തമാം ത്വം സിംഹോ യഥാ സുബലിമേഷവശും സുഭാഗം ദേഭ്യോ ഭയാത് ഉദരിംയാദ്യുധീംശരണംയാലയമൈകവത്യംജ്ഞാനയുംയമർത്തവിദൃഷ്ടി തം ത്വാനി രൂപമജം ജഗദാമദീശ ആത്മാനമത്തരപരത്രയാമപൂരം ൂലമരികർഷണോപയാൽ ഉഷ്മൽ കഥാ സുഗീത ത്വക്ഷ്മശുരോമ നഖകേശ വിനർദ്ധമന്ദം മാംസാസ്തി രക്തക്രമികൾ കഭവിതവാദം ജീവച്ഛവം ഭജതി കാന്തമതി നുമിമൂഢ യാതേ പദാബ്ജം മകരന്ദമജിഖരി സ്ത്രീ അസ്തംബുജാക്ഷമേ ചരണാനുരാഗം ആൽപന്ദ്രതസ്യ മയീചാനതിരിക്തദൃഷ്ടേ യർഹ്യസ്യ വൃദ്ധേ ഉപാത്ര ജ്യോതിമാത്രോ മാമേക്ഷസേ തദുഹന പരമാനുകമ്പാം നൈവാളികമഹം മന്യേ വജസ്തേ മധുസൂദന അംബായാമേ അഭിപ്രായ കന്യാസ്യാഗ്രതി ക്വചിൽ ൂന്യമേതൽ മത്വാജിഹാസ ഇതമംഗമനന്യ യോഗ്യം തിഷ്ടേതയത്വൈ വയം പ്രതിനന്ദയാമാം ശ്രീശുകവാച
And Rukmini started thinking about her position and Krishna's position. Rukmini started realizing that what Krishna has spoken is true to some extent, because ultimately who is Krishna? When Krishna said that I have no qualities, actually in one sense it is also true. Krishna is also the seat of the impersonal Brahman. So in Nirgunam is also Krishna's another side of it, that Krishna has Sagunam and Nirgunam, and me, Rukmini said, those who are intelligent will take shelter of Krishna. Those who are not intelligent, they will come to me for material desires. This is how Mahalakshmi spoke. I am Mahalakshmi now speaking. That is how Rukmini spoke at that point to Krishna. That what was the difference? And Krishna's color, when he spoke about Krishna's matching the color with Rukmini, Rukmini thought to herself, what's this color I have? This color doesn't look very good. Rukmini started thinking, but look at Krishna's color. Krishna is bluish. Why is it bluish? Rukmini started analyzing like this. That Rukmini, what is the sky of the color? Color of the sky. Sky is also blue. And what's the why is it blue? Because the sky has no beginning, no middle, no end. Adi Madhyanda Rahidam is neither beginning nor middle nor end is the sky. And Krishna has neither beginning nor middle nor end. And therefore the color of the sky and color of Krishna is very much in common. Like this, Rukmini started analyzing and started seeing that some of the facts what Krishna has mentioned is true as far as Krishna was concerned. So Rukmini had to agree with many things, but at the same time, ultimately through this pastime of Krishna and Rukmini, Krishna has given a great message to this world, that those who have entered into, somehow got caught in this household and life, let them realize this thing, that in this household life there could be so many difficulties, but at the same time, if somehow or the other, if there is disagreement with the husband and the wife, that household life is going to be very, very difficult. So Krishna says to Rukmini that let them recite these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam where me and Rukmini has quarreled, and how these instructions from Rukmini, and let that give them some understanding of about human life, about household life, and then let there be no quarrel in their life. This is a special benediction Krishna has offered at the time and this incident happened. So that is why, even though there is not a lot of time, if we don't remember this past time, that will not be proper. And that is why we spoke about that. So if there's any questions or comments, please.
said in the human grasa samanai said dharma atta and kama moksha and economic development should be based on diligence.
Yeah.
At present moment, how to apply in this in our life?
Yes, that is a fact that today's artham or acquiring wealth is not based on dharma. That is a fact. And almost all through the that is why we say that this when we have so many disturbances in the society, now we can see where it's coming from. That Vedic structure is that you follow this principle. Based on religious principles, you build up everything else. But because it doesn't exist in this world today, we have all the problems also. Our philosophy today is at any cost we have to make money. Somehow or the other, it doesn't matter which way it comes. Money is the ultimate goal. Money is everything. So that way, when the society has become like that, but Vedic scriptures very clearly says there that if we follow dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamosmi, Krishna says there, those ways, if you follow that path, that it will become demoniac. The society will become demoniac and activities will be demoniac and the results will also be demoniac. And that's what we are experiencing. There is nothing we can do about it because that's the way the material world is. That, but when this is mentioned, dharmam kamam artham kamam and moksham, purpose of mentioning this was, this is how in the Vedic scriptures it talks about how a society should function. That dharma or religious principles is the basis of everything. Nothing should be done out of dharma. If dharma goes well and if based on dharma, if artha and kama automatically happens, and if that way one lives in this world, it is said that the last one, liberation is offered to that person without any further questioning. Because just like in the government, there is a system that when there is some problem, sometimes government will say that if you do give the 75%, 25% government will say we will offer. It's like a subsidy or something like that. So similarly, in the Vedic system also, if it is based on dharma, artham and kamam is based on dharma, and dharma is the basis of human life, then automatically one is eligible for liberation, for moksha. So that is how the society was structured. But that doesn't exist today. It is a fact because we don't follow that system in this world anymore.
How to be...
Yes, Matthew.
I was going to ask how Rukmini Devi was the daughter of Bhishma Devi, because I was told that Bhishma Devi it's a lifelong
celibacy vow. No, that is Bhishma. This is Bhishmaka. They are two different personalities.
Sorry.
Yeah. Bhishma was, in the Pandavas story you will see in Mahabharata, Bhishma was his lifelong brahmachari, celibacy. Celibate he was. This is Bhishmaka, who was Rukmini's father, who was another king she's also from Vidarbha, which is another province where she comes from. And she is also known as Vaidehi because he comes from Vidarbha. It's a different personality altogether.
And Krishna asked Rukmini that why don't you marry this girl? Rukmini replied that I have some taste. He is serving the Supreme Personality of God,
yes.
Krishna. So it seems that Rukmini is no Krishna's ultimate goal, nothing beyond than Krishna. Then again he going to worship Parvati for getting some benedictions. Is it necessary?
I mentioned this to you before. That in the Vedic system, they had a system there that demigods were not excluded from the daily worship in the society. It was a temple for established. For Krishna, he doesn't have to worship anybody. There is no question of worshipping anyone. It doesn't arise at all. But because the system was such that she is also Krishna's external potency, Yogamaya, and like Rukmini went to Yogamaya for her blessings to get Krishna as her husband, like the gopis went to her to get, so it appears that worship of Yogamaya was very prominent in the society for all time. And among the many devotees of Yogamaya who see her as the supreme energy of the Supreme Lord, worship her in that mood. Shakti worship is come from that they worship her on that understanding that she is the supreme energy. So it is not there. Rukmini went there. Rukmini still think that she has obtained Krishna by worshipping her. That because she went to worship her in the temple all the time.
Krishna says, in another aspect of Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita,
yeah,
this less intelligent person, so surrounded by Maya, they go to demigods.
Yeah.
So how can they
become? Yes. The intelligent person goes to Krishna. There is no question about that. Then when he says intelligent means that, intelligent means spiritual intelligence. One who has a desire to free oneself from this material world, from this cycle of birth and death, he goes to Krishna. You see, and when you say intelligence, spiritual sense, spiritual intelligence is different than the material intelligence. In the material world, very many people worship Durga Devi because they want her protection in this world. They are not always worshipping her with the desire for liberation. And as I said before, if we look at, Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadade siddhaye yadada mabhi siddhanam kaschid maam veti tatvada. That out of many, many thousands of men, how many people are looking for Krishna? Hardly a few. And out of that few who are looking for, how many will really ultimately realize the truth? Very few. So in the general society, when you look at, they live in a different way. And the devotee who is trying to advance in the spiritual path, he thinks in a different way completely. So this difference will always be there in the society.
And when you said about how can we understand love unless we go into the, like, family or grihastha life or whatever it is, but also love in this world is just a reflection of real love. Are you just saying it's like a taste of love? How do you see? Yeah.
You get a taste of love, then love is an emotion, isn't it? It's a feeling of the person's heart, that how this emotion is there in every living entity. Mm-hmm. But because we have learned to cover it up so nicely, and we become like stone, we interact with each other, that without any feeling for others. That's why we are able to do some of the terrible things in this world, because there is no feeling in our heart anymore. Otherwise, why? How could we act like this? Because human consciousness, if it's properly developed, he just got all these things in there: mercifulness, love, and attachment. All these are part of it. And the whole Bhakti Yoga process is nothing but a development of these finer sentiments or finer emotions of the person. So this loving relationship between another living entity, as long as it's on a Krishna conscious platform, it's not a wrong thing. And that, from that loving relationship, one understands that the taste of the spiritual life he gets from that. And if you are able to love Krishna in the same way what we have learned from in this material world, then that love becomes a proper love, loving relationship. But otherwise, if we do not know what is love, then where is the question of loving Krishna? That doesn't come at all, isn't it? That one can only love Krishna. First of all, we have to know what is love, and then you can love Krishna. When we say there is no love in this material world, what we mean is that the love in this material world is only a reflection of our true loving relationship with Krishna. That but we impose this loving relationship on false objects, and we try to develop from that. But we forget the fact that it's only an instrument, that for the husband the wife, or the wife a husband, or the children, or whatever it is, the family relationships are only an opportunity for the person to understand what is love, how one feel when you love somebody, when you have a relationship with someone. So a loving relationship begins from the family life. And the only thing is, at the right time, we are forgetting that we have to give up that loving relationship in this world.